Thank you so much for that leading in that time of song. It was fantastic. Let's just pray and commit our time to the Lord as we look into his word this morning. Heavenly Father, again, what a privilege to worship you this morning. Oh, thank you for just your beauty, your majesty. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for salvation. And Father, this morning as we look into your word, I pray, God, that you would, again, just through your Holy Spirit, teach us, transform our lives, change our lives where we need changing. So, God, we want to surrender to you, our time to you. We want to look to you, and we want to worship you this time. Pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Today, of course, is a day we do set aside to celebrate and give thanks for the women who have nurtured us, prayed for us, taught us, and loved us. And for many, this is a joyful day of honoring mums, grandmothers, remembering their sacrifices and their strengths. But for others, this day can bring a mix of emotions, grief, longing, disappointment, or even pain. And that's why today, while we absolutely honor mothers, we want to broaden the lens, so to speak. Because God's word shows us that the legacy of faith is just not passed on down through biological parenting. It's passed down through spiritual influence, through mentors, through grandparents, through friends and teachers, neighbors, and of course our church family. And so whether you're a mother or father, child, single adult, a mentor, you have a role to play in building and passing on a legacy of faith. And maybe you're here thinking, well, I'm not a mom, so is this really going to apply to me today? And I just want to say this as clearly as I can. Yes, it does. This message is about spiritual influence, not just about biological parenting. Whether you've raised children or not, your life and faith are shaping others. You are, as a follower of Jesus, you are a part of the family of God, and someone is learning what it means to follow Jesus by watching how you live. You matter. Maybe that piece is a little bit scary for you, that somebody is watching how you live. And I guess, what is the picture of Jesus that you reveal about how you live? But today we want to turn to 2 Timothy 1, where Paul speaks to a young man named Timothy, not just about his giftedness, but about the sincere faith that he had inherited from the faithful people who came before him and who fed into his life. It's a reminder for us that we all stand on someone else's shoulders. And we're all called to be the shoulders for someone else. So let's start by talking about the influence of faithful people. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, I am reminded, Paul speaking here, I am reminded of your faith, your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So as Paul opens his second letter to Timothy, he doesn't begin with a strategy for leadership. He doesn't go into a deep theological background, but he begins this second letter with remembrance and gratitude. And what is it that he recalls? Not just Timothy's gifting, yes, he was gifted, but he goes back to the sincere faith that shaped Timothy's life. This kind of faith doesn't just appear overnight. It's formed slowly It's lived out daily and passed on intentionally, often through quiet, steady influence of faithful people. And Paul sees something real in Timothy. He sees a genuine, unhypocritical faith. But he knows it didn't just start there. He just didn't become this solid, faithful person. It first took root in Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and then in his mother, Eunice. And now Paul is confident that it is in Timothy as well. And so maybe you're here and think, wow, that's great for Timothy, but I didn't have a Lois or a Eunice in my life. I'm the first believer in my family, so I didn't inherit a legacy of faith. Maybe you feel like you're starting from scratch. And if that's you, I want you to be encouraged, because the legacy can absolutely start with you. God often raises up first generation believers to begin something new and to be passed on. So you can become the Lois or the Eunice in someone else's story. You don't need a perfect past. What you need is a willing heart. And by God's grace, you can build what you didn't receive. And here's what I find so remarkable. Lois and Eunice weren't some spiritual celebrities. They didn't have a website with a list of their sermons. They didn't have a podcast show or any of those things. We don't have their sermons or biographies. All we get is this brief mention in 2 Timothy. But their faith bore lasting fruit in Timothy, a young pastor, a missionary who would help shape the early church. And Paul calls their faith sincere, meaning it's genuine, without hypocrisy. It's not some kind of surface level religion or empty tradition, but it's real. It's been tested over time. It's persevering faith. And that's the kind of faith that gets passed on. Not perfection, but rather authenticity. That truth should encourage every one of us here today. Spiritual influence isn't limited by title or a family role. You don't have to be a biological parent to leave a legacy of faith. You know, maybe you're a Connect teacher, a youth leader, or a teacher in a school. Maybe you work outside of the home. Maybe you're a grandparent or a neighbor. Maybe you're a friend. Your presence, your prayers, your encouragement, and your example matter more than you know. A few weeks ago at the Teen Challenge Gala, we heard the story by the guy by the name of Virgil. And Virgil is a faithful volunteer at the Men's Center in Allen, Saskatchewan. And he's not a counselor, he's not a program director. He simply shows up week after week to serve. You'll find him in the shop. Maybe he's cleaning something, arranging, organizing things. Maybe he's building something. But it's not just what he does. It's how he does it that leaves a mark. See, Virgil creates a space for conversation, not by preaching, but by being present. And as he works, the men come, they talk, they ask questions, and he listens. And over time, he's had countless opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not in a formal teaching session, but in everyday moments in a shop, through quiet presence and consistent care. Virgil is planting seeds of faith and truth. One conversation, one act of service, one soul at a time. It's a powerful thing to be a part of a legacy of faith. But Paul doesn't just stop there, because while faith can be passed down, it must also be personally owned. And Timothy's story reminds us that even the strongest spiritual heritage isn't enough on its own. Faith must be received, believed, and lived. It must be personally ignited, because faith is more than inheritance. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So Paul shifts gears here after affirming Timothy's spiritual heritage. Now he's saying, for this reason, in light of that legacy, considering the gospel that you were taught, considering the gospel which you have now believed in, and you receive by faith, fan into flame that gift that is in you. In other words, don't just inherit faith, activate it. Don't let your faith sit dormant, stir it up, own it, live it out. And the picture Paul uses is vivid. It's a flame that needs tending. Otherwise, what happens? It burns out. You can receive all the seeds of faith, all of the right teaching, the right influences, but if you don't personally nurture it, you can start to smolder rather than burning bright. God gives the gift, but we're called to tend to or stoke that fire. Timothy had every reason to just simply coast if that was all he needed to rely on was the gift that had been passed down to him. I mean, he has Paul as a mentor. I mean, think about that. He has faithful women in his life. He's got a respected position in the early church. But Paul knew that a legacy, no matter how strong, can't be a substitute for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be lived out in active obedience and devotion. And this is where it becomes personal for all of us. I mean, maybe you grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you grew up attending church. And maybe people have prayed for you. Maybe people have poured into you, modeled faith for you. And praise God for that. That's an absolute blessing, absolutely. But hear this. You cannot live off someone else's relationship with Jesus. Faith is not inherited like property or possessions that are passed down onto family and friends. But it must be embraced. It must be ignited in your own heart, in your own lives. Paul doesn't say, start the fire. He says, fan into flame that which is already there. As a follower of Jesus, the Spirit is in you. Now it's time to respond, to live fully rooted in love, and to let that love move you into action. But maybe you're thinking, it's too late for me. I failed. I wasn't consistent in my example. I've made mistakes as a parent, as a friend, as a mentor. How can I leave a godly legacy? Friends, I want you to hear this. It's never too late for God. He is the redeemer of time. He is the restorer of broken stories. Even a small ember of faith can be rekindled by the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever sat around a fire in the evening and you've been sitting around this fire and it's been burning all night, and the next morning you go there and it's still warm. And you blow on it a bit, and all of a sudden you see that ember. And you put a little bit of maybe paper or something, wood beside it. And what happens? You blow on it, you fan the flames. It is never too late. No matter how long it's been, today can be that new beginning for you. You can still fan that flame. You can still fan that flame into being. That flame that he's placed inside of you, like that fire that burns all night and still warm, and you don't even need a match to rekindle that fire. So first, we see the influence of faithful people. And then Paul urges Timothy to ignite and take ownership of his faith. But how do we actually live that out? Especially in a world that often feels incredibly overwhelming. I'm sure you feel that or have felt that at times, how incredibly overwhelming life can be with all of the things that we have to do with parenting, working, serving in the church. It can be overwhelming. It can feel uncertain or even hostile towards our faith. And that's where Paul takes us next. He reminds Timothy and us that we're not left to do this on our own strength or in our own strength. God has, in fact, equipped us with everything we need. And faith isn't just passed on personally stirred, but it's powerfully lived out with power, love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control." And perhaps as you hear all of this, another voice stirs up inside of you. "I don't feel strong, I feel weak. I'm anxious, I'm nervous. I don't have what it takes to influence others. How do I leave a legacy?" And I get that. I get that. Many, many of us feel unqualified. But Paul reminds us that our confidence doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Spirit of God alive in us. Your qualification isn't your personality or your strengths. It's the presence of the Spirit of God in you. And that Spirit is not one of fear. That Spirit is one of power and love and self-control. And Paul knows that embracing a legacy of faith and fanning it into flame isn't easy. He knows that. And that's why he's talking to Timothy. Timothy is young and probably timid. And he's facing pressures from inside the church and from outside the church, other sources. And that's why Paul addresses that internal battle of fear here. And let's be honest, fear is very real. Fear of not measuring up, fear of rejection, fear of stepping out into faith, stepping out of our comfort zone where we're comfortable into doing something different. But Paul reminds Timothy and us that fear is not from God. Instead, God gives his people a different kind of spirit, one marked by power, love, and self-control. And these aren't just personality traits or wishful thinking. They're the marks of a spirit-filled life. When you're rooted in the legacy of faith and actively pursuing God's calling, these three qualities of power, love, and self-control become the foundation of how you live out your faith. Let's look at each one of them a little bit closer. First of all, let's look at power. This is spirit-given courage. and strength to do what God calls us to do what God calls you to do. Like Peter at Pentecost, we're empowered to speak truth, endure hardships, and live boldly in a world that resists Jesus. That's the power of the Spirit living in each one of us. Another quality that he mentions here is love. God's Spirit fills us with love. It's called agape love, not sentimentality, but sacrificial, others-centered, Christ-like love. It's the kind of love that enables us to forgive someone. It's what enables us to be able to forgive when we've been hurt. To serve. It's the kind of love to serve when we're tired. To choose compassion when we feel angry. Love is the unmistakable mark of a Spirit-filled life. And the third quality is self-control, meaning Spirit-enabled discipline. A mind anchored in truth, not ruled by impulse or fear. It helps us to say no to sin and yes to holiness, and live with wisdom and clarity. This verse isn't just inspirational. In fact, it's deeply impactful, deeply practical. And by faith, we step into that power. By faith, we love like we are loved. And by faith, we step into that Spirit-enabled discipline and self-control. And if you belong to Christ, you and I have not been given a spirit of fear. That means fear doesn't get the final word. You and I are equipped by God to live with strength, to love generously, and to walk in self-control, to walk in self-discipline. So the question is, are you leaning into that spirit? Or are you living from fear? Are you letting God's love guide your relationships? A lot of us could say, I'm letting him guide my relationships. But what about the difficult relationships? What about the challenges of living and walking in unity with the church, with our family, church family, our coworkers, people that don't like us? Are you living with spiritual discipline or just reacting to life? Our faith is a legacy worth living. So just, what do we see in this passage? It's a powerful picture of legacy. It's not just inherited. It's not just something we give. It's something we live. Seeing the influence of faithful people like Lois and Eunice, whose sincere faith shaped the next generation. How is our faith shaping the next generation? Or how is our lack of faith as well shaping the next generation? We see that faith must be personally ignited, fanned into flame. You can't coast on somebody else's relationship with Jesus. Attending church alone isn't fanning it into flame. It's part of it. And we see that this faith is not lived in fear, but with power and love and self-control. Because God himself equips us with his indwelling spirit to be able to live like that. Not because we're courageous, not because we're bold, but because we're spirit empowered. So whether or not you've had a strong spiritual heritage, whether you feel like you failed or fear you're not enough, God meets you here today with grace and his power. And this legacy of faith, it can be renewed today in and through you. So today, as we honor moms, let's also respond personally. here's some practical things. This one I think everyone should do. I think each one of us need to do this week. So start today, if possible. Who helped shape your faith? The question is, who helped shape your faith? And I want you to thank God for the people in your lives that have shaped your faith, but I want you to do one thing further. I want you to thank them, if possible. Some of them maybe aren't here. But I would imagine that in a church of our size, in the church of our community, we have many people reach out. And it's just like, you know, thank you. Thank you for speaking into my life. Done. What are you doing? The next thing, the next practical step is, what are you doing to stir up the gift of God in your life? Are you being led by fear or by the spirit of power, love, and self-control? So what do we do with this? If we've been ruled by fear, if that's our operating system, then I want you to start by acknowledging the fear. And where is it holding you back? And then invite the Spirit to lead. And pray something like this. Pray something like this. Lord, help me live today not from fear, but with your power, your love and self-control. And step out. Take one step of obedience. Just one. You don't have to feel strong even to do this. You just need to follow the Spirit who is faithful to strengthen, guide, and sustain you every step of the way. Man, I encourage you today. We do, as followers of Jesus, possess the Spirit of God. And so we do have power, whether we like it or not. But by faith, I pray that, my prayer is that we would fan into flame that which we have and step out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for those in our lives who have spoken to us through how they've lived out their lives, their faithfulness to following you. God, I pray that we would be a church family that leaves a legacy of faith to those around us, to in our community, of love, self-control, and power. God, let us leave that legacy to one another. And Father, maybe we haven't been living in that power, but I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, fan into flame even the smallest ember that is still there. Oh, Father, thank you for how you're going to work and move, because you are speaking through your Holy Spirit today to us. We thank you for these things. And again, Lord, we thank you for those who have spoken into our lives. Pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.